Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
I've always wanted to do that.
So we can't do that for the 200th episode?
No.
5, 4, 3. Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, Jesus. We normally get about 15 minutes into the podcast, and then we're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we have a guest, and this
I know.
Is a podcast.
I'm trying to not do that. It's my New Year's resolution is to start the show professionally.
Oh, okay.
Usually we're like 30 minutes in, and we're like, oh, yeah, we're recording.
By the way.
Welcome to Foster the Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Foster, co-host Christy Marie.
Woo.
This is it. This is episode 200.
Oh, yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
We got a special guest today. We're a minute in, right? I'm doing good. Introduce the guest a minute in.
New year, new me.
Kind of.
New year, new me.
Right, not yet. We still don't know.
Dan Beckendall is our guest today.
Oh, man, there it is.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. Well pronounced.
Did I do
Thank
it all right?
You for pronouncing it correctly.
Absolutely.
That's how I
did my research.
Well, that's how I say it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How does everyone else say it?
John Stewart said Beckendall.
Oh, really?
Which is, I think, the correct Norwegian pronunciation.
Oh, so he was right.
Yeah, but not the way I pronounce it.
Right.
He actually did his research.
Yeah, but
more than you.
But he didn't bother to ask the source, which would have been me and my brother.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate
sure,
it.
Sure, thanks
I know
for
you,
having
you just got back in town.
Yeah,
we're doing we're actually all back from Christmas, New Year's break. This is our first episode.
Yeah,
and I don't know about
Even
you.
Even though this comes out in like February. Or
yeah,
something.
Whatever.
It's fine.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Also that.
Hope everyone's having a good Mother's Day this year. welcome back, dude. Welcome to in town. I'm so happy that you're doing this show. First of all, go ahead.
Dan's doing every show all
yeah,
of the time.
That's what it is. Yeah.
We actually have a running joke in our household. When I was pregnant and I was on bed rest, I would just watch old seasons of like every show known to man. And it became a running joke that you would pop up in every single series we would watch. And I'd be like, babe, I found him again. And it would just be like, whether it was like just for one episode or actually just made it onto the show. I'm like, why is he on everything I'm watching? It's a pleasure.
I will say, thank you very much. I will say that. That it's not just lip service when people thank their representatives, because my agent worked really, really hard to make sure that I got out there on a lot of really cool projects.
Yeah.
Pushed and pushed and pushed to make sure that I got into things like Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Mindy Project and so forth. You know, just series that, you know, once you've done one, it's like, you already did one. We're not going to have you on this other one. And he would push and push and make sure I got on Community and things like that.
Literally everything.
Though. Yeah.
Like, I was, like, doing my research just because I was going to, I'll pick, like, two or three. And I was like, I don't even know.
Right.
Life in Pieces, The Mini Project, The Goldbergs, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Bad Judge, Gotham, Major Crimes, Californication, Veep, Legit. Grimm, The League, Community, Curb Your Enthusiasm, How I Met Your Mother. Like, The Office.
5 seasons into The Office,
the
all of a sudden
show.
You pop on. Yeah. And I was it's literally everything. It's like the Where's Waldo of television. Yeah.
I got a high school graduation video back. He was in it.
Yeah, it just pops in.
But I was saying
cameo.
That.
Class of 92!
But I was saying.
How'd I do? How close am I? 92?
No, 98.
98?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like younger than I am by 10 years. Sex was still great in 98, though, wasn't it?
Because
ours was Sex is Great in 88.
88?
Oh. Yeah. Oh. High school, right?
Jesus. I wish I was having sex in high school. I wasn't that cool.
Neither were we. We're just talking like it.
Right. If you were, you wouldn't need the slogan.
Yeah.
Right. It's so funny because we were talking off air about how you may be one of the most recognizable dudes like ever to me.
like, because I was talking to people, like, even if they don't necessarily recognize the name, because people were asking us who we were here for our 200th episode, and I was like, Dan Beckettall, and they were like, oh, yeah, and then you show them pictures, oh, yeah, I fucking love that guy. Right. He's in everything, yeah. Which is, like, such, do you even have to audition perfect. Anymore?
It's been a while. I mean, obviously, I auditioned for Life in Pieces, and there was a, oh, God. It's one of those things where you go, you know what? Keep the job.
Really?
The process is so demeaning and, so, you know, demoralizing, and you find out that this person is really lobbying hard against you, and then you get the job, and now that person's like, I'm so glad you got the job, buddy. I always knew you'd be perfect. And you go, you're a rat. I knew you were.
Anyway, piece of shit.
But a lot of the last couple of years has been offer type stuff. But there's been, you know, I mean, when I did Trumbo, I auditioned for that. But it was one of those ones where it's like I walked in the room and Jay Roach, the director, was like, hey, man, we had conversations. And I'd auditioned for other things. And he kind of made it clear, like, this is going to be you, but let's do this.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I there were decades of auditioning and getting nothing, too. So it just happened over. What I find fantastic is we were flying out of Florida on Tuesday. That was fantastic.
Leaving Florida?
Even more specifically.
That's the best part about Florida is leaving Florida.
I love you, Florida. You're the crazy uncle that I had to grow up with. But
Christy's from there. That's the running joke on the
too,
show.
Me too. Yeah. So
home sweet home.
Yep. And I was at the TSA, and the guy goes, sir, did you... Hey, man! you're the guy! And I was like, oh, God, I hate this so much. Because I want to be the guy that goes, yeah? Which guy?
Yeah.
And wait and see what he's going to... Because I don't know. I want to say, legit?
Right.
And he goes, never heard of it. You go, Veep? No. Life in Pieces? No. And you go, what the hell? I don't know, dude. You have to tell me. I don't know, man, but give me a second. Actually, my kids are waiting. I don't have a second.
Right.
But this guy was like, the show, man, the show that you're on. And I was like, that doesn't narrow it down.
All of them.
Right. Well, yeah. And I don't mean to be a dick about it, but like, that doesn't narrow it down because currently I do Veep and Life in Pieces in concurrence.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Correct? Yes. At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time. And I want to say, well, Veep, Life in Pieces, I don't know. So I just roll the dice sometimes and go, I don't know, Life in Pieces? And he goes, yeah!
Oh, yeah, that was one.
Oh, man, you're great. Oh, yeah, thank you very much. And it's fun. My kids love it. My kids, whoa, how did you know that guy? And I go, I didn't. He knew me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I somebody said that the rumor was that your role on Veep was created just for you.
Yeah, so, I auditioned for a film that they did called In the Loop, and if you haven't seen it, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but it's a fantastic film. It's based on the British series called The Thick of It, which was basically Veep, but in England for some useless minister of uselessness, and so they created this hybrid American British film called In the Loop. Long story over, I auditioned and was cast, and then my agents got me cast in a Warner Brothers picture at the exact same time and said, you have to do this big Warner Brothers picture with Seth Rogen being a mall cop, and you can't do this other movie. And I was like, I trained my whole life to be in a movie with these guys. Armando Iannucci was the creator of Veep and was the director and creator on In the Loop. And I said, oh, my God, I choose In the Loop. And they said, it's pretty early on. You don't really get to make this decision.
Really?
Right.
I said, all right. So that didn't happen. And when Veep came around and they were auditioning people, I went in to audition. And Allison Jones was the casting director, and she had me read for the part that Tony Hale got of Gary, the bagman. And I said, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be reading for the part that Matt Walsh winds up getting. I didn't know it at the time, but Mike McClintock. And she goes, let me do my job. I said, okay. And went in and read. And Armando was literally like, well, what the hell are you doing? Why is he not reading for that other role? Yes, of course he'll read for that other role. Right. I read for it. I tested for it. And on the day that we tested, you know, Armando came in the room and he said, hey, look, you know, obviously not everybody's going to get the job because there's two of you for each role here. Mm-hmm. For those of you that it doesn't work out for, you know, we're going to find homes for you. And I knew they were shooting episode 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, and they only did 8 that season. I was like, wow, I guess it's not going to happen.
Right.
And then I get a call that they want you for a week in Baltimore. They got a part for you on Veep. I said, oh, great. They sent me the script and I was the storyline. Right. And I read this script, and it was the exact same character that I had basically created. His his audition process is very improvisational.
Right.
And so it was the character we had created for In the Loop, basically. And mm-hmm. it was kind of a hybrid of the Malcolm Tucker role, which is Peter Capaldi plays Malcolm Tucker on the Thick of It, mm-hmm. the BBC series. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And I talked to the writers and they were like, oh no, he, you know, you're the things that you did in the testing process and the things you did in the audition process for In the Loop. We just said, we got to have that guy. And then they plugged him in. And then season two, so awesome. Yeah. And I was doing it's legit so at the exact same time.
That's right. It overlapped.
So I couldn't be there for too many episodes, but I was there for quite a few. But right. they, you know, tried to fit it in as often as the two schedules would allow.
Awesome.
So now, did you consider...
I love that character so much on Deep.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I love
it. Kills me every time.
Legit is one of my favorite
shows.
Yeah,
it's mine too.
Is that one of your... Is that baby?
It's the one that, you know, if someone says, oh, I love you on Veep, I'm like, thanks, what's your name, man? Right. All right, have a good day. Or, you know, hey, Life in Pieces, hey, thank you very much.
Right.
You know, take a picture, sure, no problem. If they say legit, they just stepped in it because I'm going to stand and talk.
Right.
Because yeah. I love that show. I felt like we did something really special there. And
Forrest Shaw says hi, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, he's
Forrest, a great guy.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows. For that show, what did you do? Like, did you have to audition for that? Or did Jim just love you?
No, I went down to audition for that. And the weird thing was, it was titled as the Jim Jefferies pilot. And uh-huh. I was like, oh, God, these things are never any good. If it's just some guy and they don't even have a title yet.
Right.
But this is. And then I looked at his stand-up and I was like, this guy's insane. Like, who's going to watch a show if you've seen his stand-up? Yeah. Who's going to watch a show? Who's going to be able to air this?
Right.
And this was in the era of Breaking Bad. So, you know, doors had been broken down. Like, we knew you could get away with certain things, but I thought nobody's going to accept this.
Right.
As comedy, they're going to think this is offensive or whatever. And I auditioned, and then I got a call back, and I was like, oh, great, I got to go back down there. So I drove back down there. I parked in a, you know, like the meter was like one of those 30-minute meters, and I went, you can't even get to the space and back in 30 minutes, but I'll take a try. So I go up there. There's a huge line. I look at my watch. I go back. I got a ticket.
Right.
And I'm like, mother! So I come back over, and I'm like, well, I already got a ticket for this dumb show that doesn't even count. I get in the room. There's Jim Jefferies, the, you know, international whatever. Who gives
comedian,
a shit? Doesn't even look at me. They said, oh, yeah, you're going to improvise and everything. And I said, oh, great. The guy's a comedian. He's not going to want to improvise with me. He's looking at his paper. How you doing, mate? Looks down at his paper, says every line verbatim on the paper.
Sure.
And I go, okay. And they go, yeah, thanks a lot, man. And so I get up and I leave. And I go, well, I guess that's that. I guess that's not happening.
Do you guys validate?
Yeah, like, no, we don't. And you got a parking ticket. So I head out, and I get a call that afternoon. I was at the pumpkin patch with my kids, and they said, you booked it. And I said, well, what does this mean now? And they're like, well, you're not going to get paid shit.
Right.
You know, it's FX. You're not going to pay it anything. And I said, oh, this is such a strange show. How is this going to work? And my first experience with Jim... You know, he called me and he said, hey, mate, thanks for agreeing to do the show. And I said, why would I say no? And I'm thinking, you know, parking ticket, weird script.
Right.
You didn't even look at me. Right. We went up to Portland to shoot it. And I called him and I clearly woke him up.
Uh-huh.
You know,
like noon.
Yeah. more like two. More like two. And I was like, oh, right. I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with like an active comedian.
Right.
You know, who's fully in his in the drive of his thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, shit, dude, I'm sorry. And he goes, no, what is it? And I said, well, I was just going to see if you wanted to go to lunch. And he goes, yeah, sure, I'll meet you in the lobby. And we go out to lunch, and he said, I got it. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, it's the least I could do. And I said, you gave me a job on a TV show. How is that the least you could do? And he goes, look, mate, you don't have to say yes to every job that comes along. You know. And I just thought, this guy, where's this guy coming from? He doesn't know shit.
Right.
You know. And we just hit it off. And now we're, you know, we're great friends all these years later, and we both... You know, pine for the girl, the one that got away, you know,
the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling like there was something really beautiful and amazing and hilarious about that show, and that so few saw it. But it's one of those shows that has gotten reinvigorated with like a Netflix thing where every time Jim makes a new video that goes viral, the series gets another million views.
Really?
You know,
that's awesome.
Interesting. I wonder if they want to do like a third season on Netflix. It would be a great movie.
Man,
too.
He tried every. Well, he's writing the movie.
Oh, is he?
So
nice.
We're
good.
In the process of figuring it out.
Nice.
I thought that, you know, not to be morbid, but why not? When Carrie Fisher died, you know, we had her on an episode where she asked Jim to lick her pussy.
Right.
Those are the words he used. She used. She said it. And I thought, well, that'll probably give us a little bump. So people are going to go back and want to see that.
Right. I do remember that
episode.
Need
that for the in memoriam loop.
Yeah.
That'll be her clip at the Oscars.
Next year at the Oscars.
You heard me. Lick my pussy. You haven't lived until you've heard Carrie Fisher say that.
God, were you on set that day? Did you get to watch
it? Yeah, everybody was like, Carrie's coming in. Can I be there? And they're like, yeah, let's, you know, fuck you. I'm coming in.
Right.
And then I took a photo with her. There was another day where we were all in a comedy club. And I said, Jim, I want to get a picture with you. He said, then ask her. She's really nice. I said, I can't ask her. And he goes, oh, my God. Carrie, will you take a picture with Dan? He's too much of a pussy to ask. And she said, sure. She comes over and lays her head on my chest and puts her hand on my chest. And it looks like we're old friends.
Right.
And I looked at it and I said, oh, my God, you look like you really like me. And she said, oh, I don't. And walked away. She was pretty great.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
I like that shit because you're like, all right, I guess I'll play a drunk.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Oh, my God. That was total happenstance. That was first season. That was not what it was. It was just a guy who couldn't keep his family together. And then the last episode of the season, the prostitute comes back and she's pregnant and they're having a baby shower. Spoiler alert.
Right.
And at the party, I had nothing to say. There was no dialogue. And Jim goes, I don't know, I tried, but you know, the other writer didn't put anything in there. He said, you know, you're a good improviser, just improvise. And I was like, oh no, I'm good, man. I'll just be drunk as shit.
Right.
You know,
right.
My life has fallen apart. I can't keep my kid and my wife. And here's my brother who can't even jerk himself off.
Right.
Is getting married to a beautiful blonde who's having his baby. I'm hammered. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
And so I got hammered and they went, oh, we got next year's storyline for Steve for sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah, nice. It was really cool.
So you have a big improv background from Chicago.
Yeah.
Second City.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Improv Olympic more specifically, what they call IO now. But that's Second City is more of a sketch theater. Mm-hmm. And they use improv as a tool. Improv Olympic or IO was a place where improv was it. That's what you do. You're improvising. That's the art itself.
See, improv, like doing stand-up for all these years, improv is the one thing that terrifies me.
I don't understand how.
I think we've talked about on this show before. To me, it's like if I'm on stage as a comedian and I'm bombing, like I get off stage and I can do what I do best and self-hate and call myself a piece of shit. If I do it when other people are there, like I feel that I'm letting the team down. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure. But what's funny to me is I look at it and I go, hey, what the fuck do you want? We just made it all up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, whereas with stand-up, you go, hi, I practiced this.
I wrote this shit down.
I worked as hard as I possibly could on this. This is the best I can possibly do, and I just bombed.
I didn't even think about that.
That's
so true. It was so mortifying.
I got up. I took a shower. I bought a cup of coffee.
This was all on purpose.
Yeah. Right. I drove here.
Spent hours trying to make this joke as perfect as possible.
Yeah.
No one laughed.
Yeah, and that's why when I did it, the three times I did it.
Oh, I was going to ask you. You have done it before.
Because I love it so much that I said, well, I got to try. I can't go through this life without trying it. So I figured, what better time than 42 years old to try it the first time? You got charisma, you got stage presence, just go for it.
Right.
First lesson in your very first time getting up, don't attack someone in the audience and tell them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
And expect them to laugh the way they did when you did it in improv and sketch, because that's called breaking the fourth wall in improv and sketch. But in stand-up, it's called being a dick.
Yeah, yeah. It's called just being an asshole.
And everyone just went, whoa, what's wrong with this guy?
Yep. That's so funny. So how did you do your first set? Could you recover from that or no?
Oh, yeah, I did. So I did three.
Okay.
One of them I opened with a joke. My grandmother, she's been dead a long time, but I think she was moderately racist. And I opened with a comment on that.
Okay.
And it was not perceived as a comment.
Right.
It was perceived as my viewpoint.
These are my ideas.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'll get rid of that joke. And then the second one, I attacked this guy and told him to STFU. And then on the third one, I just said, well, I said I was going to do it, so I'll just go up there and I have an idea of what I want to say. But it really doesn't matter at this point. I have learned already that this takes far more discipline and respect for the craft than I have time to put in at this late age.
Yeah.
So I'll just do my 5 minutes and get the hell out of here and say, thank you very much. I'm glad I tried, but
Right.
To do it more would be a disservice to the movement itself. That's the way I look at it.
It's so funny. I've made that mistake so many times. Even now, like, I'm almost 12 years in, and I'll like, I think it was like last month, I attacked some dude in the audience, and you forget that, like, the people at the table hear him talking, being an asshole. The other 250 people don't hear that, and now you're just a dick that's yelling at the guy who bought a ticket.
Right. And he's not your homie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. He's some guy. He doesn't know you. You don't know him like that.
Yeah. Right.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's like, dude, I got free tickets to be here.
We had an interesting thing at the Second City once where I wasn't there. Friends of mine were doing the show, and Mike Myers came into town. And when any time, you know, a Mike Myers or a Dan Aykroyd or a Martin Short, someone like that was coming into town, Tina Fey was coming into town, all the actors would find out. They'd tell everyone. Before you knew it, the house was packed with paying customers, and then all the freebie improvisers are lining the walls to watch, you know. And Mike Myers came down. They were promoting something, Cat in the Hat or some.
Right,
brilliant. Step on the way back down.
Yeah,
there, but for the grace of God. And he was on stage, and in the middle of a scene, he goes, "Why don't you sing about it?" And pointed at a friend of mine, and my friend was like, "Fuck, we call that pimping. You pimped him into having to sing now." And the piano player goes, "Dun dun 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 dun," and so Tom sings a song, and then later, Tom goes, "Why don't you sing about it?" to Mike Myers. And Mike just kind of, you know, the music starts vamping and he doesn't sing. And Tom goes, "Why don't you sing about it?" And Mike turns to him and goes, "Hey, kid, I've had more $1 million openings than you've had hot lunches," right? Now you would think, hey, he's Mike Myers, this audience. No, the audience goes, boo.
Oh. Yeah.
Why? Because that's Tom's audience, not Mike's audience.
Right.
Mike is a guest.
Right.
We sat here for 2 hours loving little Tom and getting to know Tom. We're on Team Tom, not Team Mike. Fuck you. Don't treat him like that. It was a real interesting, eye-opening experience.
That is crazy.
You find that out real quick. You go, oh, a celebrity doesn't hold when this group is holding this audience and entertaining them, and they feel like they're part of the group. That's what I love about the group work thing is when it goes well, the audience is as much. It's like the Seattle Seahawks. The 12th man is what helped you win the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's absolutely them. Without them, you don't know how good it is or not, right? And to have an outsider come in and be disrespectful to you, boom, they get schooled immediately.
Wow, that's
the
crazy.
The flop sweat.
Yeah.
You know, that comes from that. I don't care how. And then, so Tom then had the great comeback of, I can't even think of the last time I had a hot lunch.
I leave there. Hey, why did you sing about it? And he does like, no, you don't got to say yes to every gig.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. See, that's what if someone goes, hey, why don't you sing about it? I'd be like, yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, but then you'd be working with jerks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because I never, except for friends who'd be like, hey, guess what? What? You're a woman. And you go, man, what are you doing? It was clearly a guy. It's like, yeah, but now you're a really, really masculine woman. But that's just buddies messing with each other. It's different when someone else comes in as a guest and steps on toes like that.
That's why if
it doesn't happen very often.
Never shit on the host. I see this so many times. They already like the host.
Perfect example.
Right? Back and forth all night, and then the headliner gets on and shits on the host, and it never goes well.
And they go, hey, wait a minute. We like him.
Yeah.
We've been with him. He's been here since the beginning. Where have you been?
There's an intimacy established.
Yeah, right.
We don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of auditions and stuff, but what's a really bad audition to you? Have you ever walked out of an audition room and be like, how did I make that choice? Do you know something in your head?
Yeah, there was some sci-fi.
He's like ready. This is like ready.
Oh, no. Yeah. The second you said it, I went, oh, no, I remember the one where the guy was snoring.
And it starts with sci-fi, so for
it was a sci-fi. It was a sci-fi comedy. It was not the one that Paul Feig did for Yahoo a couple of years ago. This was years before that. And my choice was, I think I was auditioning as like a doctor or something on this spaceship. And I was like, I'm going to wear my white tracksuit with the black pants and the black shoes that match. It was just a choice that I went with.
Sure.
Of like, this is the way the guy dresses. And I come walking in the room and the guy in the corner sizes me up and kind of gives the head shake. Like, what the hell is this fool thinking? And I go, all right, I lost that guy, but the performance is going to win these other ones over. I'm not worried about it.
Right.
I get 4 words into it, and I hear, and I look at the guy that gave me the look in the first place, and he's either sleeping or pretending to sleep, which would be even more injurious than actually sleeping.
100%.
And I kind of go like,
Really?
Looking right at him, thinking somebody else in the room is going to be a human and go, hey, Doug, wake up.
Right, yeah.
Or
right.
knock it off or something. I don't care if he's the EP. I don't know who he was.
Sure.
I probably do care because he's probably my boss now or something. But, you know, and I just looked and I thought, oh, let's fast forward. I'll just go. You know, like I'm a good cut and runner. I mean, if I'm scared, I go clip dead, bye. You know, out the door.
Right.
You know, I don't even drop the mic. I run out with it still attached.
Just wires hanging.
You hear as I run out the door. And I just looked at that guy and I flop sweat and I could feel, you know, that when you get punched in the nose mm-hmm. and you have that like tingle of like, I don't know what it is. It's like, feels like saline spray or something's been sprayed up your nose.
Right.
And you're like, I had that. It was absolute fight or flight situation.
Ooh.
And I just kind of went, I finished a couple lines and they said, thank you very much. And I said, really? Yeah, okay. And I walked out and I called my agent and I said, I can't believe what just happened. He said, well, who was it? I said, it doesn't matter. I don't want to revisit this. I'm
right.
This is all I ever want to say about it. I'm done. That's
right.
Yeah. You know.
And it was at my lowest point too. It was like, I wasn't working. I wasn't getting jobs. I was frightened in every audition anyway.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So you got a call back and you were on that show.
Yeah,
you
exactly. Okay. And that show was Life in Pieces. They never let me wear the tracksuit and they changed it from a spaceship to suburbia.
But what role turned it around for you in your eyes?
You gonna make me cry?
Yeah.
What you doing?
Yes, please.
You know, quick backstory. My daughter was in and out of the hospital. She was sick at the time. I wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And I was mad because I was like, I should be working, not home taking care of my sick daughter. You know, my logic was skewed,
sure.
obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
And one day I just had this kind of awakening where I went, dummy, you're home because you need to be home right now.
Mm. Right.
And the minute that I found that gratitude and went, oh, I'm where I'm supposed to be, that's when jobs started coming because I was no longer trying to get jobs. I was
right.
trying to get home.
Wow.
I was like, can we hurry this up so I can go home to my kids? And here's my audition.
Sure.
And they went, wait a second. We want to talk to you. And I went, I don't have time. And they went, oh, I like him. He doesn't like us. You know? But the one that really turned it around for me, I walked into an audition and Larry Charles, who was an executive producer on Seinfeld and one of the showrunners and so forth on Mad About You.
Uh-huh.
He was a big wig on Kirby Enthusiasm, did a lot of stuff, did Religious, did all the Borat and all the Sacha Baron Cohen movies. He was casting a pilot that was going to be largely improvised but had a structural outline. And they said, you're going to walk in the room in character and you're going to do the audition as though you are the person walking mm-hmm. in the room. And the character was a flamboyantly gay manager of like a Walgreens in a very small town, but the only accredited actor in the town.
Fantastic.
And the film studies teacher at the local high school wanted to make a film to show his kids, here's how a film is made. And so they reach out to this guy to get him to be
right.
The only real anchor acting wise. And I thought, yeah, I already auditioned for Modern Family as the role that Eric Stone Street has. And I played it like, my thought was like, we're not going to do like, oh my God, I'm so gay.
Right.
Because that seems like in the modern era, that's really over the line.
Right.
And so I went in and auditioned for Modern Family, slight detour here. And I played it pretty much like this. And the casting director said, honey, you are not gay enough. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I can do more. And he goes, no, that's okay. And they had me read something else anyway.
Right.
Didn't get
right.
it. So in this one, I said, that won't happen again. I'm going to go so far that he goes, you've offended me. You may leave.
Right.
And I walked in the door, you know, and I just laid it on harder than right. any actual gay guys I'd ever met.
Same white tracksuit from the.
I wish I'd thought of that. But. And this audition was just an interview, basically. He said, what's your name? And I said, my name's Neil. What do you mean, what's my name? You're the one who invited me here. This is weird. What's happening? And he was giggling through the
sure.
whole thing. Anyway, I booked it. And when we were shooting it, I kind of said, I'm going to go so far on this next scene that he's going to have to say, okay, Dan, pull it back. That's
right.
too much. And he didn't. And then on the next scene, I said, the only thing I can do now is warming up in a meat locker
uh-huh.
type of thing. And I said, well, I'm going to do it in the nude Okay. And he'll have to say, put your clothes on, we've gone too far. And instead, he blew the take by laughing and said, let's do it again.
Oh, no. You know?
And what happened was something was unlocked where I went, that's the problem. You need to have someone who believes in you, mm-hmm. who trusts you and says, here, you lunatic, run. And that's what Larry did for me. I've tried to thank him, and he's like, no. Like, you know, almost like, that's my job, and don't thank me for it.
Right.
But that was what did it. Once that that's happened, because I was kind of damaged from The Daily Show. My confidence was shot, and I was feeling pretty lousy. And working with Larry just kind of sprung things. And from then on, I walked into rooms going, you know, what can I do for you? Here's my interpretation, but what can I do for you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? And if it is, do this and get out, then that's what I'll do.
Sure.
Awesome.
God, I love that.
Yeah.
We've talked about this show so much. Like, once you just kind of let go.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. That's always the way.
It's the only option there is. Anything else is futile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But whenever I try to hold on to something, I'm like, this is the thing that I need. This is what is going to make my, and then I don't get it. And then I'm devastated. And then it's like, oh, and then you kind of like let go and you realize that that wasn't the thing for you anyways. And then the thing that it's coming or it hasn't come yet or, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best thing I ever did for my comedy career was to quit comedy.
Yeah,
I quit January of last year. I was like, I'm done. I'm frustrated. I'm sick of the road. And then I never booked more in my entire life than I did last year.
Once again, that's when Justin was going to become a train hopper.
Yeah,
he's going to become train tramp. Yes.
I have big ideas, Dan. I have very big ideas.
I was going to be a fireman.
Were you?
Our common friend, Phil, I went to him and I said, what does the fireman's exam entail? And he said, are you kidding me? And I said, world's never going to run out of a need for firemen. You don't have to audition. You just have to pass the exam, do the work, stay in shape, and people just have to keep setting shit on fire, and you'll be working.
Right.
I need to pay for diapers and food for this kid. And he said, let's not move so fast. And I said, I'm ready to do it, but first I'm going to go to Home Depot and fill out an application, and then I'm going to walk out into the parking lot and stand with the guys in the parking lot and take whatever job comes. I was, my thing was, got to pay the bills somehow.
Sure.
Right.
I'd never gotten a waiting job. I had filled out applications for dozens of them, and I was never hired to wait tables, not once.
Right. Mm.
And that told me something, which was, you're not supposed to be in the service industry because you look scary.
This is not for you.
I think it's scary prick syndrome. It's like, you know, and then along comes Roger Furlong, and you go, oh, I've been training my whole life for this.
There's a lot of job security and fire, though. You're right. People won't stop.
That and cooking. The other thing was, I'll go to cooking school.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. That's so fascinating.
Yep.
So every January I quit comedy, by the way.
Good idea.
Yeah. Oh, are you back on it now?
Yeah, until I start booking shit again.
Okay. Yeah, it's the way to go.
Just fuck with the universe a little bit.
New Year's resolution, I quit. Yay, you're rewarded.
I think I quit last week, and then the next day I got an email that I got accepted into the San Diego Comedy Festival.
There you go.
I love the universe.
You know it doesn't work if you do it on purpose.
It doesn't?
You're like, oh, yeah, I don't care about that thing anymore. You don't, like, still get the prize.
You can't pull a fast one? Well, I tried.
Pulling fast ones on the universe. The Justin Foster story.
Save my book. I want to talk about this because we've been talking about TV a lot. So I drove from, I drove from Los Angeles to Dallas and back again. And that's a whole nother episode. That's some of the stops that we took. But one of the stops, we stopped in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we did the Breaking Bad tour.
Oh, right.
And when I say it's a tour, it's not essentially like a tour that like you pay someone and everything's just posted online. So every address is online, and we went to Walter White's house, and I don't know if her address is just public, and I feel so bad for this lady because she just has to sit in her, it's an old couple, they refuse to sell, right? They refuse to sell the house, and she has to sit in her garage 24 hours a day and shoo people off of her yacht. To the point where Vince, the creator of Breaking Bad, had to issue a statement to please stop throwing pizzas
on the roof. Yeah. Yep.
Savages just drive by her house and throw pizzas on this poor lady's roof.
I like that you're presenting it like you went on a tour when really you just cyber stalked an old lady.
Yeah, we just Googled some address.
A tour. No.
Poor lady. These savages like myself just drive around.
So we drove by. We wanted to take like a quick picture or whatever. And in the 30 seconds on a Wednesday afternoon that we drove by, there was five other cars of people parked getting out, walking
That's
on her
crazy.
Line. And she had to basically be like, shoo, shoo.
Move, lady.
Yeah, just sell.
Get out of there.
Just go.
Yeah.
Just get out of there.
Or open a museum.
Right. Let them come. Yeah.
Want to go in the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the pool where the, spoiler alert, this is the pool where the doll's eye winds up.
Right. I just love the fact it's gotten so bad that people have to be like, please stop throwing pizzas on the roof.
Everything else, we can deal with everything else. But
yeah. Please stop.
And not just people, but like actual like executive producers and like staff of the show.
Hollywood. People. Please leave this lady alone.
Please no.
It's so funny. So this is our 200th episode, and I reached out to people, and I asked kind of to recap some of their favorite moments of the last 200 weeks.
200 weeks.
Dan, when we first started the show,
oh God,
we sat on an air mattress in my living room. Tone Bell was living there. Mark Agee was living there. Lance Paulin was living there. I was living there, and we recorded in the living room on an iPhone that we just set in the middle.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I was hungover almost every single episode. We lived in like probably the worst parts of town that I'd ever lived in.
I would make Justin be waiting out front for me when I parked so that he could walk me up to the apartment. Yep.
Broad daylight.
Yeah, 12 in the afternoon.
Broad daylight.
Terrified.
And then and for the last 200 weeks, I've gotten sober. Christy's gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
Christy's had kids.
Yep.
We're not in a living room studio anymore.
We are not.
We're in the brand new studio. If it sounds echoey, we haven't moved our stuff in yet, by the way. So dude, it's been such a crazy journey. It's been awesome. So I asked people to like recap some of their favorites, and I just wrote some down. So Ryan said the Jeffrey J episode 63.
Awesome.
Which is that was when our buddy Jeffrey J decided to not be a woman anymore and be a male. So like he talked about like his journey, which
his
is super fascinating.
Yep.
I was in tears when Justin read the Ask Yahoo questions about sex. When people post questions to Yahoo and people get like real answers, like my girlfriend's a virgin and she's pregnant. Like, I don't understand, like, what could have happened.
Right.
Like, well, she probably cheated on you, dude.
Right. She had sex.
She had sex.
You may not have, but she sure did. I promise.
People love when Christy does Things Christy Hates.
Things Christy Hates.
People love that.
I love that, too, guys.
Jennifer on Twitter said, I love it when you guys were hating on yourselves for joking about how you and Kingar love younger women when secretly you were also very proud of yourselves.
That's a beautiful observation.
Yeah. The fans loved episode 21 where Drew Lynch talks about getting the golden buzzer and the requests he got. Our buddy Drew Lynch was on America's Got Talent. Came in second place and was getting people were basically asking him to come wait tables at their restaurant.
Yeah.
Like managers.
Like, I'm busy doing other things.
Yeah. Like managers would reach out to him and be like, hey, if you want a job, like we're totally hiring at Sal's Pizza Spot in Ohio.
Things aren't
that fallback plan.
Yeah. Right.
No kidding.
Two different people said they love when you and Maddie Chimber argue with each other.
Oh, yeah. We haven't seen Maddie in a long time.
Yeah. We're going to have Maddie back on. Episode 109, Christy's wedding episode. The fans love that one. Episode 122, when Dave Reinitz talks about how he was on board flight, the JetBlue flight 292 that almost crashed in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, I only like it because I know how uncomfortable it made both you and Christy. Episode 148, when Christy talks about the time she was hungover and threw up in her dashboard, shutting off her car.
Oh.
I was a little hungover trying to get from point A to point B and was on the highway, couldn't pull over, so I threw up into my dashboard and all of the electrical shut down.
I think I bought that car. Did you sell that car? Because we bought one that smelled like a salami sandwich.
I think it was pho.
It could have been the one.
It was pho, right?
Yeah, pho noodles into the dashboard, into the grates. Yeah, it was hot. It was a good look.
One of the listeners on Facebook said, episode 53 with J.C. Carias. He says, hands down 100% the best episode. I have listened to it at least 10 times. That was when J.C. took a bunch of drugs on St. Patrick's Day and woke up naked in a field.
Yep.
Oh,
and had
good.
To... piece everything together. Right.
It was movie worthy for sure.
Episode 157 with Rhett Reese, the writer of Deadpool and Zombieland.
Of course.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And then the last one, when Justin thought his room was haunted and you guys performed an exorcism. First of all, we didn't do an exorcism on my room. We did a clearing.
Sage.
Burned some sage.
Yeah.
Smudged it.
We just smudged it. much a little bit.
We got the evil out.
Yeah.
So that was some of the listeners' favorite episodes. What That's do you awesome. Have any like particular that you can think of? I was trying to think of this morning. I've loved every episode.
Yeah.
I do love the process of you getting married and us doing the wedding recap.
That was a lot of fun. That was a fun time for sure.
Very fun.
I loved it because everybody really got on board and was like sending their ideas and couldn't wait to like hear about the things that were coming up. I really felt like everyone was part of our day. So that was cool.
That one, you shitting in a bucket.
Oh yeah, that was a recent episode. It's a recent sober, pregnancy Dan. Episode.
Sober. Yeah, that's good.
Sober as a judge.
Best way to do it.
Fortunately.
That's amazing.
Yeah, good times.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming
absolutely.
On, man. We really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Do you want to plug anything?
Hope this was helpful.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you like to plug that you're on all of television?
Yeah. If you guys have TV.
Watch TV. Watch TV. No, the only thing I ever bother to plug, because everything else gets publicity and it never did, is I tell people to go to Netflix and watch Legit if you haven't watched it yet.
Awesome.
For no other reason than to see the beautiful, heartfelt comedy that Jim Jeffries is able to crank out when he's not offending people.
Right. Nice. And it's a beautiful show, and there's a lot of Fossil Podcast. You know, I don't want to say that's why the show was as successful as it was.
But probably because of our podcast.
You know, Forshaw was on there. Al Jackson was on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a couple of other people that have been on the show that's on there.
So you're welcome, Legit,
so you're welcome.
For our podcast.
Yeah, we got canceled after two seasons. I wouldn't take credit.
Well, because we didn't have the rest of you guys
on. That's what
on.
It is. Yeah,
after this and after Jim comes on, where you guys are getting
the
movie.
Say that. And then look out the end of this year. We got an animated show coming out called Tarantula, written by Carson Mell.
Oh, cool.
And that's going to be on TBS. It's going to be in a few months before that comes out. But Carson's a brilliant comedic mind and a real great twisted sci-fi comedy guy.
That's awesome.
Like that.
Awesome. And Christy, you got your baby shower coming up.
Yep, baby shower's coming up tomorrow. Both the babies are off of all oxygen support, breathing on their own, doing really good. Little boy is over 3 pounds. Little girl's almost at 3 pounds. So you guys will be hearing some good news coming up in the next few weeks here.
Awesome.
That wasn't an open invitation, was it? Because like that quinceañera where they wound up having 1 million people.
Oh, yeah. I saw about that. Where people were buying flights to Mexico.
Yeah, be careful.
All listeners, you guys are invited to Christy's baby shower.
Her phone number
is... You just got to find it.
Yeah.
Right. If you can find
us. If you can find it, you're there.
Just throw a pizza on the roof when you get there.
Good night.
Ivan, you've got Ivan, our wonderful sound guy. Dude, thank you so much for making us sound so good all the time.
Absolutely.
You guys, check out Ivan. He's going to be at the Ice House Friday the 13th.
Woo!
Spooky. In stage two. What time? 8? 7:30? Okay. Well, follow Ivan Ishkov on social media.
All night.
Follow me for my reunion stand-up dates because I quit and I've started back up again.
It's an idiot.
JustinComic.com and all the social media, Justin Comic. And also, thank you guys so much for all the listens and the tweets and the emails and Facebook and promoting the show to everybody for 200 episodes. We really appreciate it. If you guys are a new listener, subscribe to Foster the Pack podcast on iTunes. Go to iTunes and just search for Foster the Podcast. Go to fosterthepodcast.com. And on behalf of Christy and Ivan and I, thank you guys so much. And thank you for 200 episodes. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.